Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We are so excited to introduce our sponsor for this episode, Kind Cup. Kind Cup is a female-owned, high-quality, sustainable, and toxic-free menstrual cup. It's designed and manufactured in Southern California with the mission to be kind to your body, the earth, and others. It's tough dealing with your period every month, and what's worse is remembering to change your icky tampon every few hours. With Kind Cup, you can leave it in up to 12 hours and basically forget it's even there. It's really that comfortable. Kind Cup is a menstrual cup that collects 2 to 4 times the fluid of tampons, and their size small is perfect for new menstrual cup users, teens, and tweens. The great thing about their patent-pending innovative design is that it's form-fitting, comfortable, leak-free, and easy to use. Not only is Kind Cup kind to the environment, but they also donate Cup to folks around the U.S. who are underserved and experience period poverty via their Kind Impact Initiative. They might be a small, queer-owned, bootstrapped company, but they have a big vision and believe in providing people with the best period care possible. Get yours today at kindcup.com. That's KINDCUP.com.
Welcome to the Girl Powerful Podcast.
We're two sisters on a mission to entertain
and educate by learning from women who live a purpose-driven life.
On today's episode of the Girl Powerful Podcast, we speak with Delaney Rowe, actress, comedian, and content creator. We ask her to share her 3 tips on how to gain confidence and take up space. She also talks about who's influenced her, other comedians, and also what truly makes her light up. Enjoy this episode and don't forget to subscribe to the Girl Powerful Podcast.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Girl Powerful Podcast. Today, we have Delaney Rowe with us. She is an actress, a comedian, a writer, and a content creator. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you guys so much. What a lovely intro. I love being called all of those things.
Yeah. I honestly was practicing and was like, and what else is she? I'm like, I think you've said enough. Like, I was like, and she owns a dog, and she's got plants in her room. Like, what else would she call her?
You know, it's so funny. Somebody wrote a little piece on me for BuzzFeed, and they must have had some misinformation because they called me a model, and I was like, I'll take it, but nope. I was like, I love that. Let's just like keep pushing that around, but it's just not true.
Yeah.
You're like,
oh. Well, I went straight to the source, your website.
Boom.
For that.
Yes. The website, the hub. My gosh. Yeah. That is like my baby, and yet nobody ever looks at it. So I'm so happy that you guys checked it out.
You got a unique visitor today.
Yeah. One unique visitor.
Incredible.
But I wanted to talk to you about being a comedian and a writer, because a lot of our girls love to express themselves through writing. And I feel like when we were growing up, our major influences were comedians, but they're always comedians. So it's like,
right,
Myers, Will Ferrell, Dana Carvey, like we acted like men.
Unfortunately, Jack Black and Chris Farley, I like absorbed them. And funny, but like, it's also like, why am I acting like this? And it's like, well, you know, you're absorbing their personality and the funny laughs, and it's cool, but I never was like labeled feminine. You know what I mean?
100%. I drew a lot of inspiration from Jim Carrey, and it's so funny now to see people comment on my videos like, you remind me of Jim Carrey. You look like Jim Carrey. I'm like, great. Thank you. Actually, I'm a model. I don't know if you heard. But
yeah. Check my BuzzFeed. my BuzzFeed article.
Right. I own BuzzFeed.
Yeah.
Who were your influences like growing up besides Jim Carrey? Or like, I just like the fact that you are influencing girls to be comedians and to put yourself out there in that way.
That's so sweet. I want to like, you know, sort of double tier that question, or statement, but you know, influences Catherine Hahn for sure. She, you know, is really now becoming a household name, I think now into her late 40s, which is incredible. And that's kind of the career I hope to have, that sort of longevity. But watching her growing up, she was this sort of really vulnerable comedian. Like, that was her humor. And she has this desperation about her that is so funny. Like, I think really desperate people, that's like my favorite kind of humor. You know, that's the videos that I do. It's like, girl that needs you to know that she has famous friends or that she's bi-coastal or whatever. You know, so I think desperation is hilarious. And she has this lovely, like, vulnerable, desperate quality about her humor that I just stole. And, you know, Lake Bell, I don't know if you guys know Lake Bell. She's great because, you know, she's so incredibly beautiful and yet she leads with her mind and her sense of humor. And I think that takes a lot of confidence for women to decide that they're not going to lead with their, you know, their exterior qualities or their sexuality, which, by the way, is fine and fantastic. But, you know, I always felt like growing up, I didn't really have that choice. Like I had to, you know, look pretty and act, the way men wanted to see a feminine woman. And I felt too self-conscious to lead with my sense of humor. And so you saying that I'm inspiring young women to be a comedian, it means everything to me because that's where I get my self-esteem. Mm. You know, I live in Los Angeles. I can be in a room with so many incredible, beautiful women. So that it doesn't mean that much if that's the only thing I'm bringing to the table. I love having a real opinion on humor and a perspective. Like, that gives me this like deep well of confidence that won't go away with time. Whereas, you know, looks fade. So
yeah, it's so true. And, you know, we were in LA for 11 years and we felt the same way. Like, obviously, like, we're not ugly, but it's like, we always,
you're
like,
beautiful. You're beautiful.
But we have like, we always had personalities and big brains and like careers. And we always were just ourselves and trying to do good in the community, you know, as well as like having some margaritas here and there and
yeah,
you know, sure, all that fun sure stuff. But it's like, LA doesn't really value that. LA and the whole world.
Right. Really.
And even the fact that like all your content on TikTok and Instagram is like you, you know, sharing like your quote unquote opinion of like these silly people. But like, I want to know like how you have the bravery to make fun of people in a way, in a light way, in a totally PC world. Cause like, we would do all this stuff. Like, I watch it and I'm like, oh my God, I kind of feel like this is me when I was a teenager, but I would be like, Teddy, you're mean.
Yeah. And you know, I do get some like very few, but some comments like that are like, you're just kind of an asshole. I'm like, can I say that?
Yeah. You know, that's pretty easy to say.
You know, there are a few like no fly zones for me. Like, I'm never going to go after, you know, body image stuff. I'm never going to go after, like really attacking what it means to be a woman. You know, like my characters are, you know, girl who blah, 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 woman who blah, blah, blah. And it's just because I identify as a woman. So that's why it's that. But, you know, I'm never really going after, what I think a lot of male comedians go after on TikTok, which is just like the qualities that they perceive make women inferior. So I'm never going to go after that kind of stuff. So that's how I sort of check myself before I post. But other things like making fun of how people, you know, display their status and wealth and stuff like that, I think everyone needs to be made fun of for that. That
is great.
Like, what is going on? You know, especially
what is going on?
I have so much inspiration. And here's the thing, like, people love to be roasted. People want somebody showing them a parody version of themselves so that they can go, damn it, like, that's me. Yeah. That's me, you know?
Our cousins are musicians They're not professional. They're just like beautifully talented. And they always sing and, you know, play around in the house. And they'll roast Teddy and I.
Oh my gosh.
And it's so, so funny because they're Christian conservatives and we're like, not
spiritual liberals.
Yeah, we're spiritual people. So they'll just like go for it. And it's literally like the best, like the highlight of my like Christmas.
And no one gets
because
mad.
It's so funny. It's like,
it's true.
It's so true.
And it's okay that we're different. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, it is really funny. It kind of, when you mention like male comedians, sometimes they're out of control. Like, do you ever plan to like be at the Comedy Store, like on a stage, or do you like to be behind a screen?
You know, I won't completely rule it out, but I really love the control of, I get to do 400 takes before that goes up.
Yeah.
And I've spent a lot of time at the Comedy Store specifically because I actually used to work at the restaurant adjacent, and out of control, it doesn't even cover it. Some of those comedians are, you know, and as we're seeing, a lot of them are being taken down right now, and for a good reason. I've seen these men in, you know, this complete power trip, and there's something about being like a male comedian. You know, men have had platforms their entire life, but then on top of that, they're on stage and they're being funny, and people are eating it up. It's just like that ego goes through the roof. And female comedians, they get up on stage and they do a completely different thing. They don't feel like they have the agency to take up that much space and be that rowdy, you know? And I think we should change that. Women should be able to present their comedy in whatever way they want. But yeah, I mean, the criticism female comedians get compared to male is insane. Yeah, they can get away with murder. Yeah.
And they don't, women don't have like the space or like the camaraderie between like each other, and like women tear each other down so much. I feel like that's a big thing. It's like, oh, she's not funny. Like, I want like the big fat guy to be out there, like, you know, totally like slamming his parents, whatever. And that's funny. I like when you like harass your family members. I think that's doing comedy.
But yeah,
really quick. No. I just want to tell you, one time I was at the Comedy Store. I'm not gonna tell you the whole story, but this guy was being out of control, and everyone was not enjoying it.
A comedian
was like harassing a woman in the front that was older, and it got really, really uncomfortable because he like wouldn't leave her alone. And everyone started, like, no one was clapping. Everyone was putting their head down. Yeah. And it got to the point where it's like, enough is enough.
Well,
and but then as a customer, you're always like, well, they're a comedian. They're at the Comedy Store. They can say what they want. But it was like, it was harassment. It was crazy.
He was saying you wanted to like have sex with her.
Beyond that. Yeah. It was disgusting.
But then I couldn't, it came from like deep down in my core. I just screamed, that is enough.
Good. That's amazing.
That show was over. And then all the men after him just came out and did like
fart jokes.
They're like,
like threw their stuff away.
That's so funny. Yeah. I don't know what it is when, you know, a man gets up on stage and they feel like, you know, their best material is crowd work, and it's like, find like a hot girl in the audience to harass, which is such a, I mean, it's just weak. It's like, what happened to your set? Like, what about the jokes that you wrote? Now it's all gone out the window because you see a piece of low hanging fruit that you know is going to please all the men in the audience, because men are always after male approval and women are always after male approval. We're never like looking for female approval, which is so bizarre.
Yeah.
You know, I think like if that was what they were after, the jokes would change, you know?
Totally. Yeah, writing's a craft. So it's like, how do you have the honor of being on this stage right now?
Right.
You know, not that many people get to be on stage in LA, the comedy hub. But I was wondering, since you're an actress or an actor and you go on auditions and you're on social and so many viewers, how do you handle like that whole process of being like always like,
I don't know,
perceived,
always like perceived and judged, and your talent and your strengths and your capabilities are always in question because they, you know, everyone's doing the best for their job. So how do you handle that pressure? And
The numbers, like if something doesn't land and you're like, that was actually the best video I've made in a week.
Right.
Like, that's confusing. Why is America so dumb?
The answer is not well. I'm not super, you know, it's funny. I wouldn't say I have a terribly thick skin. And I've always been super sensitive. And so it's funny that this is the career that I've chosen to be on. And I think that's the case with a lot of actors. We want to be actors because we're sensitive, because we take delight in, you know, expressing emotions, or, you know, really getting into this like gritty space in our hearts and our minds. But at the same time, you're being judged on your body, on your face, on what you're wearing, on the sound of your voice. All of these things are reasons why you may get a job, why you may not get a job. A lot of people go after my deepest insecurity on TikTok. It's like they know, and then they will comment on it. And I'm like, that's when it hurts. That's when it really hurts.
What is your deepest insecurity?
I think my deepest insecurity is that I'm not enough, and therefore I'm doing so much because I don't trust the way I just naturally am, with the faces and the voices and the, like, all of the stuff, you know, very Jim Carrey of me, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think that's what it is. Like, you know, like, calm down, you know, like, you're so loud, like, you know, all of those things. So that, and then, you know, just kind of on the surface, I would say my teeth. People go after my teeth.
Really? You have the best smile.
Yeah, they're wrong.
That is so sweet of you.
But so did someone say like that to you even before TikTok, like growing up? Is that something like that you felt insecure about being enough and self-esteem, like in your teen and like younger
teens? Yeah, 100%. I think, you know, growing up in Idaho, I was not as self-assured as I am now, but I had a pretty solid resting level of knowing who I was. And I knew that, like, Boise is not going to be ultimately the place for me. Mm-hmm. I feel called to sort of a bigger city, and a bigger, like, breadth of opportunity that exists in a place like Los Angeles or New York. And so, like, when I was like 13, I was like, I'm moving to New York. Like, I was sure of it. So I did feel always like this waiting period of me to sort of start my life when I can go to college or whatever. And so being, you know, at like Boise High and being this theater kid and wanting to like dress in a way that would maybe be cool in LA, but like not in Boise, you know, all of these things that were making me a huge target, you know, being told things like, you're like, why are you speaking so loud? What? It's so humiliating. I don't know if you guys have ever been told, like, why are you talking so loud?
All the time. So all the time. I got in trouble at the lunch table. I get in trouble at people's houses. I get in trouble everywhere.
It's so interesting because when you are confident and assured and you just know what you want, that can come across as being a bitch or being bitchy or rude.
Yeah.
And when we, like, it's like when you go to a restaurant, you don't want to sit by the bathroom. Yeah. And you don't want
Let's talk about this.
By the table with four kids. So it's when we came to Boise last summer, we were with our friend from LA who was our trainer.
Yeah.
And he was like, let's meet up for dinner. So we go, and Teddy was like, hi, table for three. I'd like to sit by the window or on the patio. Like, just told him where they want to sit. He's like, oh my God, Teddy, you're so rude, but you can't do that here.
Yeah.
And we're like, what? We can do that anywhere we go because we know what we want and we want to enjoy our dinner.
Yeah.
100%. My mother told me a story about her making this, finally snagging this amazing reservation at this restaurant with her cousin, and they were going and they're having like a lovely night out, and they get there and they get sat right by the bathroom. Mm-mm. And she told me, you know, she's worked, you know, must have heard this from like a waiter or somebody before in the past, that that'll often happen because people in the restaurant industry assume women are not going to tip as high as men. And so they will give them a less ideal table, which is so messed up.
Is that because they don't get paid the same?
Yeah. So
let's talk about that.
It's just a trickle down effect built off of like a flawed patriarchal system. So. And we end up sitting next to the bathroom. So
let's just eat our pizza in the bathroom.
Let's just sit on the toilet.
Yeah. Forget it. I'm going home.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's so funny. But she, you know, she asked to move and to go to a better table. And this happened. I was in San Francisco this weekend. I was with my mother 2 weekends ago, and we got sat by the bathroom, and we're like, we're moving with us. Let's just be nice about it and ask. Yeah. And obviously if there's nothing that can be done about it, whatever, it's fine. Like, I've worked in a lot of restaurants. I understand that seating is a nightmare, but I don't think there's anything wrong in general with asking for what you need if you are polite and you have agency. Like, you have all the rights to want to not sit by a flushing toilet. So we'll just put that to rest right now.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
There's this amazing video of Katharine Hepburn from many, 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 many years. She was on a talk show, and this was a clip that was taken before the filming started. She was just kind of there getting a sense of the space. And she's sitting down, she's like testing out the chair. She's putting her foot up on it, on the table, so that, you know, cause that's how she likes to sit. That's how she feels comfortable. But the table was kind of moving. There was no rug. And you just watch her command the room and ask everybody like, hey, you know, would you mind if we got like a pillow here, and maybe we could tack down the table? And what if we get a rug under here? Like, she was just owning the space and saying like, this is what I would like to be comfortable for this long form interview. And can we get that going on? And it's such an inspiration. I love it so much. I'll send it to you guys.
Yeah,
it's so cool.
I love
She's
that.
Just such a badass.
That,
yeah.
In that time too, to have a voice like that. And like, she knew right. She was powerful, and she just stood in that presence. And a lot of people don't own their power. And like, that's what Girl Powerful is all about, is like your inner power, how to tap into it, how to not lose it, and be inspired by like the people you decide to be around and how they fill your cup. Because you know, those people that you spend your time with are definitely making an impact on your life.
Right.
So 100%. Who do you hang out with to make sure that, like, especially in a big city like LA, it can be super toxic, or it can be the best place in the world to live. And we love that place, like near and dear to our heart. And we love the ocean, but also you kind of need a break from it sometimes.
100%. You know, I'm really in the camp where I love LA because I've been so lucky to find people who are like-minded. And the people that I hang out with are the funniest people I've ever met. I am so lucky to have really, really funny friends, because I think humor keeps me really grounded and feeling confident. You know, anything can happen. And if you have somebody that you can riff with and joke about with, it's not upsetting anymore. You know, we have this running joke, me and my best friend, of just being, you know, about like how unsuccessful we are. Like, every time something doesn't go well, we'll just be like, oh yeah, that's because you're untalented and unsuccessful. Right. You know,
I like that.
It's just like funny to, you know, like mock yourself, and it helps you gain perspective. So yeah, I hang out with writers and comedians. And actors. So I feel like I have a tribe. I feel like I have this like center here, which is important.
Yeah, you can definitely find them wherever you are, especially if you're being your authentic self like you are. You're obviously going to attract people that are craving that kind of same mirror of themselves. So I think when you are a good person, you can live anywhere and find the good people.
And I feel the exact same way.
Yeah.
Our late friend Matt, it was like the funniest person ever. Mm-hmm. And he's so creative. He worked for Google, and he just had a really cool creative career. Mm-hmm. But he said that in college, he made up a chant that was, we're hot, we're rich, we're wildly successful.
No, we're mildly
successful. No, but then he was like, wait, I'm in college. We're not successful yet.
Right.
So change it to we're hot, we're rich, we're mildly successful.
And that's like, very funny.
And it's like, dude, Matt, it was your parents' money. You're not rich. You're in college.
Yeah. Matt. Yeah. Come, sit down. That's so funny. I love that.
Yeah. Mildly successful. Well,
yeah,
you have to not totally destroy yourself over there, Delaney.
No, I'm super busy totally destroying myself at all times. I just get a kick out of it. That's my coping mechanism.
What are your three tips for anyone listening to build confidence and to take up space?
Three tips.
Let's go off the cuff. Three.
I'm like, in this TED talk. Okay. My first thing that comes to mind is like, find your personal currency. Like, some people, they're really intelligent. They're bookish. They have an incredible vocabulary. Some people, it's humor, you know, being able to improv, being able to riff with a stranger. Some people, it is just being incredible looking. Who knows, you know? Find the thing that you know, like, you can work in a room, you know? For me, like, I choose humor. I know that if I can go in there and I can start joking with somebody and catch a vibe together, I'm going to be set for the rest of the night. I'm going to be feeling really good in my skin. So, like, find your specific currency. I think number two would be... Being of service is a really big part of gaining self-esteem, because you get self-esteem by doing esteemable acts. So doing anything in your community, online, any sort of activism, you know, even within your friend group, I think can do wonders for confidence, because you feel a part of something. You feel like you're inciting change. And I really don't know, like, how it can get more, like, powerful than that, when you feel like you are doing good in the world. Mm-hmm. And then number three, here we go. okay, this having, like, it doesn't have to be insane, but having a really solid routine of, you know, sleep, like, hydration, and you don't even have to exercise, like, walking. Walking, moving at all can make a huge difference. Like, the way I feel when I've had 4 hours of sleep versus eight, it's a different person. You know, like, taking care of your needs and just like the most base way, water, sleep, movement has done wonders for my confidence. And when I'm not on that, and I'm sort of like on a bender of just horrible behavior, is when I'm at my lowest, 100%.
Yeah, and then you have to like crawl out of it, and like all the
self, and it takes days.
Self-loathing. You're like, wait, I don't deserve this. Like, I just, but it's my fault. No one made me do all that.
But I did it. Yeah,
I did it. It was maybe fun. There was a fun video, but that's it.
Right.
But hey, we're human. But
that's great advice.
That's great advice, and I love the acts of service. I think that's important for everyone. And if people like don't have like an action or something that feel activism towards, it's like, wake up, because there's so much you can do to help your neighbor or help, you know, your own backyard. And like, that's as simple as it can be. It's like, hello, the earth's on fire. Anybody want to help?
Yeah.
That one out? Like, everyone's so smart and has all these, you know, podcasts and voices, and like, we're just all going to ignore it. It's kind of scary. So I hope everyone does like realize they are powerful. Whoever they are, even if you have like 49 followers, it's like, that's 49 people you could get together, you know, and do something.
And I think activism can be as simple as reading a book about something that is important to you. Because when you are expanding your knowledge about what's going on in the world, you're so much more equipped to speak up when there's an injustice, even just a conversation around you. Like, knowing what you believe and what's really going on is a huge source of power, you know?
Blaine, that's awesome. That's so true. Yeah, educate yourself. Yeah. It's important. Mm-hmm. The time is now. So our ending question for everyone is, what makes you feel most alive?
That's such a good question. I feel like this is maybe a little redundant of me to say, but, you know, I feel most alive when I'm in a group of people and I've just said something that made everybody laugh. And I just, like, there's this flicker that goes off inside of me that's like, that's me. Like, that's what I'm supposed to do here. Like, is make, I'm fully crying, is make people happy and laugh. You know, it's at the end of the day, like, what is most important to me. If somebody can watch a video of mine and say, like, that made me feel really good. That made me have perspective on my life. That made me want to go and make my own videos. Like, mm-hmm. So it's that. But specifically, like, that in-person connection, when you just know, like, you got me right there. You completely understood what I meant and you laughed. And that, like, that exchange of human behavior makes me feel so alive.
I love that. I love that flicker.
Yeah.
That flicker inside. It's so true.
But that's true. That's like yourself saying, this is my gift. And you're.
Yeah.
It and tuning into your gift, which is beautiful.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. And as a young woman that you are, it's like awesome to see you, you know, doing all the things you need to do, like you said at the beginning, to have longevity in your life and your career. So congratulations mm-hmm. for being awake and living.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. I also want to invite you. We're having an event in LA August 7th, if you're around, at the Shangri-La
Hotel. Yes!
In Santa Monica.
Love the Shangri-La. We love it.
Yeah.
We're doing a fitness
workout by the pool, a dance, a hip class, and some live music, which we're all craving.
Sounds so fun. I'm there.
All right. Yay. Well, tell everybody listening where they can find you.
You can find me on TikTok at Delaney Says Hello, on Instagram at Delaney Rowe. Check out my website, DelaneyMarieRowe.com.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much. And thanks for being a funny girl who's witty and beautiful and brilliant and smart.
Oh my gosh. I feel likewise. You guys are doing so much amazing work. I'm so inspired.
Thank you.
Thank you, Delaney.
Bye.
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 Thanks to our guest. For more information on her, see the show notes.
Please hit subscribe if you have not already. That way, a new episode is delivered directly to your feed every week.